The following Dharma talk was given by Ron Hogan Green. Hogan Sensei is a lay teacher in the Mountains and Rivers Order. This talk, like all of our talks, is offered free of charge. If you would like to make a donation or find out more about our various programs, visit us online at zmm.org.
Thanks for listening.
Good afternoon. Yesterday, Shugen Roshi spoke about Hongji's beautiful poetry and arising from just sitting from Shikantaza. He also talked about other forms of practice. And I believe we'll continue that tomorrow. And I thought it just worked out this way, but I thought today's talk is a good balance to that. So this is case number 75 in the 300 koan Shobo Genzo, which is 300 koans drawn from Dogen, mainly from the Shobo Genzo, translated by Kaz Tanahashi, and Daito Roshi added commentary and capping verses and notes on the koans. So this is the case. Zen Master Yanto was once asked by a practitioner, "What can I do when the three worlds all arise together?" And Yanto said, "Sit still." The student said, "I don't understand what you mean, Master." And Yanto said, "Bring Mount Tremper here and I will tell you." Now, obviously, I've changed a few details of the koan, but it's the same koan. It won't affect our understanding of it. The commentary. This is by Daito Roshi. "When the mind moves, images appear. Even if the mind does not move, this is not yet true freedom. You must first take off the blinders and set down the pack if you are to bring forth Mount Tremper. When you finally let go and be totally alive to the suchness of this very moment, you will see at once that it is beyond telling, absolutely beyond telling." And the capping verse. "How will you ever free yourself if your mind does not stop chasing thoughts? Morning mist hovering in the mouth of the valley causes many people to miss the source." So the three worlds that the practitioner asks about, we are all familiar with. It's the world of endless desires. It's the world of forms, phenomena, and the world of formlessness. And together they make up all of our karmic existence. So we are continually experiencing these three worlds. We live in these three worlds where our future karma is being created right now. The three worlds always come together in our being alive and living our life. So right before us, in us, is all of what we experience as we spin around, a mind grasping onto, holding onto the constant movement we create with our thoughts, with our desires, with a willingness to ride the merry-go-round of our endless mind stuff. And we know this. If you sit Zazen, you know it very well. And yet, you might ask, what choice do we have? I mean, what can I do? The world we experience stems from our inherent restlessness and our inherent dissatisfaction combined with our reactions to the sensory bombardment that we experience in life. I say inherent, but actually it's acquired. It just seems inherent. Practicing offers some safety from the endless bombardment. So here we are in Sesshin. And other than our minds, and perhaps the birds, beautiful bird sounds, it's a safe environment. And yet, there is our minds. And there is our tendency to bring into this environment all of our customary patterns and responses that we're very familiar with, that go where we go, and from our perspective, are who we are. So we all know this through our own experience. It's not like we come into Sesshin, sit down, and our mind is completely at peace and calm. So there's a tendency, we tend to get caught up in our feelings, especially fears, attached to what is attractive, spin away from what we don't want and what we wish to avoid. And one of the interesting things about Sesshin, about sitting for longer periods of time, is we get a chance to see the subtleties of this, how we spin away from what we don't know, we want, but we don't know. And so we take up our customary protections. One possible response is together as a Sangha and as individuals, work to address the challenges that we face, because the challenges just aren't individual, are they? We work within our practice, with our teachers, with our Sangha, to try and address our personal issues and the race, racial, gender, and other abuses within our society, and therefore, here. We are all familiar with how difficult it can be to engage in these issues, both personal and personal, that arise from our self-identification, our habitual attachments, and the subtle influences that continually affect us. Can we navigate these challenges without excluding any part of ourself, without dishonoring the birthright of our Buddha nature, which leaves nothing out? We all struggle with responding to what is before us when it involves real people, not just ideas. You and me, can we allow for our confusion, our uncertainty, and the uncertainty of our certainty? And most importantly, can there be a willingness to come forth within a fundamental state of not knowing, of presence, to a place of openness, and the gentleness of real compassion, which always responds to the specific circumstances? It isn't feeling nice or sweet or kind, but specific to the circumstances of what helps. So this is the question in this, which arises in this koan. So I'm reframing it. How do I proceed when the question before me is complicated, with no obvious answer, and I don't know how to respond? I wonder if this is a familiar question to you in whatever way you might frame it. It certainly is to me. There may be an apparent simple and clear response which can offer us some relief, but we do have to be careful. Sometimes those apparent and simple and clear responses are subtly a way to avoid the question, so we don't have to feel the pain of it. Sometimes our responses seem fine in the moment, but create more karma, more suffering as we go along. And yet, we have to respond. That's the way it is. And one of the most interesting challenges of koan's study is there's a question, questions within the koan. You have to respond. You have to see into it. Not understand, but respond in a way that addresses the question within the freedom of non-duality, and yet specific to that question and that koan. Daito Roshi added footnotes to each line in the koan. So koan says, what can I do when the three worlds all arise together? And Daito says, how do you understand the three worlds? And I'm going to put some questions out there, which a teacher might ask the student if they were working on this koans. Well, how do you understand the three worlds? Is that an intellectual question? How might you respond without concepts, without intellection, and yet consciously, and address the question? What is this before me? Who am I? So Yanto, let me just say a word about Yanto. I couldn't find a lot of material about him. But I think there's an interesting antidote about his death, which is famous. He was in China. I don't have the dates, but it's early 800s, 900s, I would guess. And he lived at a time that the area that he lived in was beset by war and banditry and violence. So he was sitting one day, I think in a courtyard, as the story goes, and a bandit came up to him with a sword and said, I can run you through without a single thought. And he responded, I can be run through without a single thought. And so the bandit ran him through. And he shouted, cuts! That supposedly could be heard for a mile around. Now, this is a koan in itself. But we'll put that aside. So this is Yanto. And he responds to the monastic, to the practitioner's question. Sit still. We all know how to sit. We all practice sitting without moving. Is this what Yanto is pointing at? Roshi's footnote says, don't mistake this as an instruction to engage in inactivity. Is Daito speaking of inactivity while in Zazen or apart from Zazen? The student says, I don't understand what you mean, Master, referring to the sit still. How about you? Do you understand what sit still means? Daito's comment on the practitioner not understanding is, this is really not a matter of understanding. We are engaged in a remarkable undertaking. We, the brainwashed, the conditioned, the accustomed to suffering in the name of happiness, wealth, or whatever other shiny things are dangled before us. And that can include spiritual aspects of spiritual practice. We think that may solve our problem, may give me what I want. And yet we're engaged in the practice of seeing what is real, which is another way of seeing who we are fundamentally. And how we can live this life in a way that reveals the truth of our life. That's what's going on here. And without disregarding our conceptual mind or any other aspect of our being, and it is not a matter of understanding. So Yanto responds to, "I don't understand you, what you mean," by saying, "Bring Mount Tremper here and I will tell you." And Dido's footnote says, "It can be done, you know." How close to Mount Tremper do you have to be to bring it to Mount Master Yanto? How close to Mu do you have to be to bring Mu to the Doksan or Daisan room? When your breath breathes you, who are you? The irony of this is that if you do, Yanto has no need to tell you. You've experienced it directly for yourself. The commentary. When the mind moves, images appear. Even if the mind does not move, this is not yet true freedom. You must first take off the blinders and set down the pack if you are to bring forth Mount Tremper. When you can finally let go and be totally alive to the suchness of this very moment, you will see at once that it is beyond telling, absolutely beyond telling. When the mind moves, images appear. We want, we want, we want. Our ongoing picture show is not a problem in and of itself, but of course, we take these images for the reality we experience. Does that mean that the reality we see and experience is not real? It is such a small view of ourself and others, so partial, so limited. So I ask you, how big is the breath? How far does just sitting extend? Can we see into these questions without concepts? We have a fixed, carefully cultivated self-image of our world, of ourself, designed to bring us imagined happiness and safety, or avoid something we're afraid of. The practitioner in this koan is asking for help. We are all asking for help. That's what we're doing here. When a question comes from deep within, a place not limited by this or that, then something can occur within us that is not blocked by understanding, that is not blocked by how we experience the three worlds. We can recognize the suffering that arises when we act out of our usual mind states, out of ignorance, really. And the ignorance is of our true Dharma eye, a real fundamental being. So maybe the solution is not to allow the mind to move. Well, you know the answer to that. Anyone who sat even a few minutes trying to stop the mind from moving realizes that the karma of trying to stop the moving is more moving. Now labeled trying to stop the mind from moving. Our sense of a separate self is amazingly powerful. And even when we want to see into that, we subtly or overtly create a new version of the same self, create a new way to manipulate our mind so that we can step forward into something and therefore not be where we are. It's interesting, we've probably all heard many times that when we study with intent and intensity, our mind, that we can find something we can call our mind, simply because our true nature, our Buddha mind is not a thing. And that includes all of us, including our thinking and conceptual mind. And we'll never find this true mind conceptually apart from the searcher. It can't be apart from you. The entry point to this question, obviously, is Zazen, a continuous effort to be present with the study of ourself. And so implied in that is that we have to be willing to come back every time we drift off into the clouds, as we will many thousands of times. Or even drifting off into the clouds with complete open awareness is also a study of our mind. Sit still, Yanto says. And in doing so, despite our busy minds, our mind slows. Without knowing how, without self-consciousness, without me grasping it, we slow. But Daido says, don't mistake this as an instruction to engage in inactivity. I may have this quote slightly wrong, I'm doing it from memory. But sometimes, in the depths of stillness, it's compared to being in a coffin with the eyes wide open. Your eyes are open. You're at peace, but you're in a coffin. Sitting still holds everything. There is no place it doesn't reach within our life, no matter what the activity is. It does not fall into being still or being active. It is alive because we are alive. It brings to mind a couple of things. One I've talked about before, hanging on my wall, is a picture which somehow is three-dimensional, somehow, of a vase, a beautiful vase that its beauty isn't in how it's depicted, but it's alive, it's moving, and yet it's still. And it's a gift from Hojin Sensei to me that she did. And it's called, I asked her, what is it? She said, it's Zazen. And it remarkably captures Zazen. Is it sitting still? Is it moving? Is there movement within the stillness? Is there stillness within the movement? Sit still. The other thing that came to mind about stillness and quiet and peace. In my early years of sitting, I sat with a sitting group in Denver, and we had a two-day sitting, which was a big, big deal. None of us had been to Sesshin. And a senior practitioner from the main center in Rochester came and led the sitting. And that was my first experience of a quiet mind. And it struck me in a profound way. I had never experienced that in that way. And so as the senior student was walking out the door, I came running up to him and I said, my mind stopped. How do I hold on to this? And he looked at me and he said, you can't stay at the top of a mountain. Then he looked at me again. He said, well, in your case, you can't stay at the top of a little hill. And he walked out the door. Sitting still holds everywhere. It does not fall into being still or being active. It is alive because we are alive. How will you realize your life? The commentary. You must first take off the backpack and the blinders and set down the pack if you are to bring forth Mount Tremper. What does it mean to bring forth Mount Tremper? One time a practitioner was walking up the mountain right to the field. Nowadays you can't quite see Mount Tremper from because the trees have grown so much, the mountain itself, but then you could. And the person was completely involved in their practice as they were walking. They were walking. Completely present in their walking. When suddenly the mountain, the trees, and the vast sky were their true body. They were Tremper Mountain themselves. Dogen speaks of this in a slightly different way. I can read it. He says, the blue mountain, blue could be green. The translation is ambiguous. So I'll say the green mountains are constantly walking. The mountains lack none of their proper virtues. Hence, they are constantly at rest and constantly walking. We must devote ourselves to a detailed study of this virtue of walking. The walking of the mountain is like that of people. Do not doubt that the mountains walk simply because they may not appear to walk like humans. So Dido says, even if the mind does not move, this is not yet true freedom. Moves, not moves, the same old trap of this or that. And so he says, when you can finally let go and be totally alive to the suchness of this very moment, you will see at once that it is beyond telling, absolutely beyond telling. I mean, we know this in a small way. You know, we go back home and someone says, oh, you're at a meditation retreat. Did you have a relaxing time? Was it fun? And there's no way to explain this. I mean, you have to say something. It's one of those three world questions, but a tiny one. So you respond, yeah, it was it was okay. The capping verse. How will you ever free yourself if your mind does not stop chasing thoughts? Morning mist hovering in the mouth of the valley causes many people to miss the source. There's so much suffering and disharmony and pain in this world and in us. Morning mist hovering in the mouth of the valley causes many people to miss the source. We begin to see that in our Zazen, how we create. We're constantly creating, constantly making more. It's like, reminds me just an image that came to my mind of you've ever seen sausage made, you know, it goes through a grinder and you're grinding it. Now comes sausage, sausage without the wrapper. That's like a mind, you know, we're grinding and out comes, well, you can make your own comparisons to what that looks like. That mist is self-created, and we're creating that as we sit. But we're also studying it. We can't stop creating it, and yet we can study it. To study it means to do our best to have profound awareness of this moment of our mind, this moment, not last moment, not next moment, this moment. So when you project past or anticipate future, you cannot be in this moment. You're already lost. You're already misting. We can sit amidst the three worlds as we go about our business. Our business with each other, with ourselves, in the most intimate way that we can. And we can practice sitting still. Now, this is not an accomplishment. If it was an accomplishment, the stillness would not be free. It's a practice. It's coming home over and over in the midst of the movement and the stillness. And this practice is not bounded by being still or moving. It's not. Again, freeing yourself is not an accomplishment. It's a practice. As Daito Roshi says, it can be done, you know. It can be done.
Thanks so much for listening. For meditation supplies such as cushions, incense, liturgical instruments, Dharma books, and more, visit monasterystore.org. Support for your spiritual practice at home.